There are a number of haoros on this week's parsha, which I haven't found that the Mefarshim talk about. If you learn the Chumash, just basically learn the parsha with Rashi, there are a number of points that come up which are seemingly unclear, which for some reason, as far as I could see from looking around, the Mefarshim don't talk about. Part of the parsha deals with the Korban Pesach that was brought in Mitzrayim, at least the commandment, tzivui, that they got of Pesach Mitzrayim, of bringing a Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim. And the pasuk says that Chamishi in Pasha's boy, Vayikra Moshe l'chol Zikne Yisrael, the Moshe called the Zikne Yisrael, Vayemer Aleihem, and he said to them, Mishchu Kulachem Tzoin, the Mishpachay Seichem, that everybody should either find, get, the matana, or purchase animals which are going to be used for Korban Pesach, v'shachet to a Pesach, and then you'll be able to shech the Korban Pesach. But what you'd have to do first is v'lakachtem agudis ezoiv. You have to take this bunch of ezoiv, the tvaltem badom, asher v'sof, and you have to be tovel the agudis ezoiv, which was like a brush made out of this vegetation. You have to dip it into the blood. V'higatem el ha-mashkoif v'el shtei ha-mezuzot min ha-dom asher v'sof, and you have to smear it on the doorposts and on the mashkoif, top of the door, and then make sure v'atem le'teitzu ish mipesel beis ha-rebeke, that you stay inside v'yov ra'ashem lingayfis Mitzrayim, because the Rebbeinu Shlom is going to come to give the final makkah to the Mitzrayim, the makkah of Makkas Bechiris. V'ro'es ha-dom al ha-mashkif al shtei ha-mezuzos. The Rebbeinu Shlom sees the dom on the mashkif and the two doorposts. Pesach Hashem al ha-pesach. The Rebbeinu Shlom will pass over that entrance. V'le'itin ha-mashkif lo ve'o b'teichem lingayif. And the destroyer won't enter this particular Jewish house and won't kill the Bechor. So far we have two things. Number one, you have to get hold of an animal which you're going to use to offer up as a Korban Pesach when the time comes that you have to offer up the Korban Pesach. And number two, you have to make a marking on the door that the Rebbeinu Shlom shall know which door, which house you live, in order that the Bechor in your house shouldn't be killed, but the Rebbeinu Shlom should jump over your house and go on to the next Egyptian house. Fine. Then the Pasuk continues, this is Pasuk Kavdal, the very next Pasuk. Ushmartem es hadova azeh, and you have to keep this mitzvah. You have to observe this mitzvah. L'chok, l'chok levonecho, even though it's a chok. What's the definition of a chok? Something which we don't know the reason for. Even though this mitzvah is a chayik, you have to keep it, you and your children, ad olam, for eternity. Here, the first question arises. Lichura, this pasuk, which says that you have to observe this mitzvah as a chok, as something without a reason, for eternity, is referring them to what was said in the previous two psukim. Or probably even more logical to say what was said in the previous pasuk. It's going back, it's a continuation of the pasuk beforehand. The pasuk beforehand was that you have to put the blood on the mashkef and on the two mezuzahs. This is not a mitzvah for eternity. This was a one-time mitzvah which took place in Egypt for a specific reason. Right? once Klal Yisrael left Egypt, never again was there an opportunity when they had to take the blood of the Korban Pesach and smear it on the doorpost and smear it on the lintel of the door. It was a one-time mitzvah in Mitzrayim in order to identify Jewish homes. So how can the Pasuk come along and the Pasuk say that this is a mitzvah for eternity? The Ramban asks, this question the Ramban asks. The Ramban on this Pasuk says, what's the Pasuk talking about? How can the Pasuk say this is a mitzvah for eternity? Says Ramban, no. When the Pasuk says this, it's not referring to the specific mitzvah of smearing the blood on top of the door and on the doorpost. It's going back to the Pasuk previously, which is talking about the general concept of a Korban Pesach. The general concept of a Korban Pesach is a mitzvah which is constant, eternal. Kol zman, the conditions of Beis Hamikdash, of Kabbonis, are around. But Kol zman, the condition of Kabbonis, etc., are around. Then there is a mitzvah of Korban Pesach. And this mitzvah of Korban Pesach, that's what the Pasuk is talking about. So it's not going back to the Pasuk previously, it's going back to Pesukim. And it's referring to the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, and on the reference to the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, the Pasuk says that you should know two things. Number one, it's a chok, and number two, that it's a mitzvah for eternity. Asks everybody and their grandmother on the Ramban that you can't learn this pshat either. Why? Because you can't say that Korban Pesach is a chok, because the Pasuk says mefurish why you have to bring a Korban Pesach. The Torah tells us mefurish that there is a reason for Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach symbolizes something. Korban Pesach comes to tell us, Ki zevach Pesach hu la'Hashem asher pasach abotei b'nei Yisrael v'Mitzrayim. It's because the Ribbono shel Olam saved the Jewish houses and didn't bring Makas Becheiros to the Jewish houses, but he was medaleg, Pesach, jumped over the Jewish houses, and we bring a Korban Pesach. And every year, when we bring the Korban Pesach, it psychologically triggers in our mind a symbolic remembrance of the fact that the Ribbono shel Olam only killed the Egyptians and didn't kill us. So if the Pasuk is referring to Korban Pesach, how can the Pasuk call it a chok? If the Pasuk calls it a chok, it can't be referring to Korban Pesach. Number two, if it's referring to Korban Pesach, why does the Pasuk have to say all of a sudden here, Ushmatim es Aveda Azois, remember to keep this mitzvah. We've got a whole parshas in the Torah which tell us the halachas of Korban Pesach. Why is it all of a sudden coming and telling us this din of Korban Pesach here? There's another pasuk that we find in the next chapter. This was Perek Yud Beis of this week's parsha. In Perek Yud Gim of this week's parsha, it says that there's a halacha of tefillin. What do we find in tefillin? What do we put inside the tefillin? We put inside the tefillin the parsha of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The parsha of Yetzias Mitzrayim appears in tefillin. That what? Ki biyod chazaka haitziyecha mitzrayim. That the Ribbono Shelam took us out of Mitzrayim biyod chazaka. What's the translation of yod chazaka? So yod chazaka indicates some type of strength. Right, strong hand, right, means some type of unusual strength on the part of the Ribbono Shelam. How are we going to explain that? In how he took us out of Mitzrayim. I think the Netziv somewhere says that Yod Chazaka is the following, that if you have to push a car, a car won't start. If you want to bump start it, so you push it. So you're pushing the car in the direction where the car's meant to go, so you have to push it a bit, let's say it's downhill. Yeah, you start pushing it, rolling it down the hill, and the car will start. If you're pushing the car downhill, you have to use a certain amount of strength. If the car is parked on an incline, and you have to push it uphill, you have to use more strength. Right? To push something uphill It's more difficult than to push something downhill. Yad chazaka means you're going uphill. In other words, you're going kenege derech hateva. It was difficult, as it were, of Yochel for the Rebbeinu Shlom to take Klal Yisrael out of Egypt. If you're looking at derech hateva, they should have stayed there. They should have been stuck there. There was no way b'derech hateva in which the Rebbeinu Shlom could have taken them out. Therefore, he had to use yad chazaka. He had to use more power than is normally necessary. That's what yad chazaka means. So the expression the Torah uses yad chazaka. This expression, right, I'm sure you can find it in the computer in 2 seconds, appears in the Torah who knows how many times. Right? The expression yad chazaka, it's used very, very often in the Torah, particularly in connection with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yad chazaka, yad chazaka, yad chazaka, yad chazaka. However, in this week's parsha, in Parshas Bo, we find the expression which is used 3 times, 4 times in this week's parsha, and is never used anywhere in the entire Torah other than in this week's parsha. In this week's parsha, it says, "V'hoi lecha," again talking about tefillin, "V'hoi lecha la'is al yodcha la'tetavis b'inenecha, ki b'chayzek yod, ha'itziyah yischa kodesh bochum Mitzrayim." And that's repeated 3 times. There are 3 psukim in this week's parsha, in which the expression is not Yad Chazaka, but the expression is Chayzik Yad. What's the difference between a Yad Chazaka and a Chayzik Yad? And the only time in the entire Torah where the expression Chayzik Yad is used is in this week's Parsha, and all 3 times is in this week's Parsha within the context of the Parsha of which talks about Bechor. Talks about the firstborn. Pidgin b'cher, etc. Kaddish l'chol b'cher. That's where it appears. That's where it comes. And obviously, there must be something behind all this. The Mefarshim don't talk about it. As far as I can see, nobody raises this question as to what is the difference between Yad HaChazaka and Chayzik Yad. We've mentioned before on a number of occasions that the concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim involved 2 factors. There were 2 parallel issues that were going on here in Yetzias Mitzrayim. There was a nation that was physically enslaved in Mitzrayim, that were second-rate citizens, that were persecuted. And what Yetzias Mitzrayim did was to take them out of this physical persecution, to take them out of a matzav of avdus and to put them into a matzav of chayrus and to put them into a matzav of a ben chayrin. There was a second aspect to Yetzias Mitzrayim. The whole point of Yetzias Mitzrayim, says the pasuk, is because the Ribbono Shel Olam eventually is going to bring Klal Yisrael to Har Sinai, and at Har Sinai, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to determine the Klal Yisrael is different from Umos HaOlam. That because the Ribbono Shel Olam has decided that the Klal Yisrael is an Am HaNivcha, and the Klal Yisrael is an Am Skula, and the Klal Yisrael is singular, and the Klal Yisrael is different, therefore Klal Yisrael has to be Mekabel Torah. And therefore, out of all the Umos HaOlam, Klal Yisrael was the only Umma who said Na'aseh V'Nishma, as opposed to all the other nations who found whatever excuse was possible not to be Mekabel Torah. And we also know that initially, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Klal Yisrael and says to Klal Yisrael that you're going to be freed physically from Egypt, but there is a point in this freedom. And the point in this freedom is that eventually, because of this freedom, you are going to accept upon yourself certain responsibilities as Jews. And because you are Jews and you're not non-Jews, Klal Yisrael weren't too interested in this in the beginning. And Chazal say, the what's the pshat? Mikaitzer ruach ha'maveda kasha. Say Chazal shaya kasha be'einehem lifroish me'aveda zara shebiyodam. It was very difficult for Klal Yisrael when they were told by Moshe Rabbeinu that there's a new era starting where you're going to be different from the Egyptians. They couldn't get used to this idea that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to take them out of Mitzrayim, separate them, make them different, make them unique, make them singular. And that they're going to have to act, speak, dress, take their haircuts, and behave differently to non-Jews. They couldn't fathom that. It was only, say Chazal, that when they got to Maimid Har Sinai, V'roes kol asher osa Hashem u'mitrim, and they saw every the nisim that the Ribbono Shel'Olam had done to them in the whole episode of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that they were willing to become an Am Skula, and that they were willing to say Na'aseh v'nishma. When you think about it, the concept of Klal Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim, leaving the physical shibud of Mitzrayim, and becoming a nation that weren't slaves, but were their own masters, was something which wasn't unusual at all. Because Klal Yisrael as a nation being enslaved, that was unusual. If anybody knows the history of the world at that point in time, there was no other nation at that point in time that was enslaved by anybody else. Everybody was a nation, independent, living in their own land, doing their own thing. They may have not got along one with the other, and they may have continuously been at war one with the other, but the concept of an entire nation being enslaved didn't exist. And that matzav of slavery was an unnatural matzav. When the Ribbono Shel'Olam took them out of that matzav and turned them into free people and took them into Eretz Yisrael and gave them their own land, what he was doing was turning them back into what was Be'etzem Teva, that they were the same as any other normal nation. However, the individual who was enslaving them happened to have been a particular nasty fellow. Right? Paro was a Rasha. He didn't want to let them go free because he had a free workforce and a cheap workforce. And therefore, in order to get them out of Mitzrayim, the Ribbono Shel'Olam had to, kavyochel, as it were, put a certain amount of effort into it. They themselves, because of the fact that they were enslaved in Egypt for a period of a couple of hundred years, and there is something which today has been proven to be a normal psychological syndrome which happens to anybody who's kept in captivity for a long period of time, that he starts identifying with his captor. In fact, they even give it a name because of a certain situation of somebody who got kidnapped and eventually, at trial, took the side of the kidnapper as opposed to the side of the prosecution. Because being kept in captivity for so long, she identified with the kidnapper more than she identified with the authorities that came to save her. It's a known psychological state. And that concept, that slave mentality, which creates a situation whereby the individual who's enslaved identifies with the enslaver more than he identifies with the individual who comes to free him, right, was something which happened to Klal Yisrael as well. And therefore, there was kavyochel an effort on the part of the Ribbono Shel'Olam to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim because they'd already become identified with the Mitzrayim, both in their behavior and both in their speech and in their mentality and in everything. So there was a necessity there for something which is described by the Torah as being a Yad HaChazaka. But again, this wasn't in order to create a matzav which was Me'al HaTeva. It was simply to create a matzav that they should get back to normal and be a normal nation. However, the concept of a nation being an Am Skula, the concept of a nation being a chosen people, the concept of a nation being singled out by the Ribbono Shel'Olam to do certain things for the Ribbono Shel'Olam, namely Kiyum HaMitzvos and Kiyum HaTorah, that was something which had never happened since Bria Sa Olam until the point of Maimon Har Sinai. There was no nation that was offered this. There was no nation that had done this beforehand. This was a whole new, completely new Musad. This was something which was totally against everything which had been, as it were, the teva of the world until that point in time. So when the Torah is talking in reference to the Jews being freed from Egypt on the physical level, on the slavery level, the Torah uses the expression Yod HaChazaka. When the Torah is talking about Jews changing their status in terms of who they are, moving from being like any other individual in the world to a unique group of people on their own, then the Torah uses the expression Chayzik Yad. Because what is the difference between Yad HaChazaka and Chayzik Yad? There is a vast difference. If you know the basics of Hebrew grammar, there is a vast difference between Chayzik Yad and Yad HaChazaka. Yada chazaka, the word chazaka is an adjective describing the yad. What type of yad is it? Yad is a noun, a hand. And chazaka is an adjective, a strong hand. Chazak is strength. It's a noun. Chazak yad is in fact just two nouns. Strength and hand. The aspect of Geula, which was Am Yisrael going out of a matzav of slavery into a matzav of freedom, was something which was only temporary. It wasn't something eternal. Because Klal Yisrael did not stay in this matzav of freedom, La'ilam Vayed. It was only for a free period of time. They returned to a matzav of slavery. There was a golus after Gulas Mitzrayim. Heishiv ocha yemino, he says the pasuk in Eicha. That the Rebbeinu Shlomo was mastir panov from Av Yisrael, and mitnei chatoenu galinu ma'atzenu, and we went out again into golus. Therefore, when referring to the physical geula of Klal Yisrael, the first time round, which is basically a temporary affair, the Torah says that the Rebbeinu Shlomo took Klal Yisrael out of Egypt biyad chazaka, with a yad which is chazaka. Because sometimes the Rebbeinu Shlomo works with a yad which is chazaka, and sometimes the Rebbeinu Shlomo decides to work with a yad which is not chazaka. When the Rebbeinu Shlomo works with a yad which is chazaka, he can pull you out of Mitzrayim. And when he decides to work with a yad which is not chazaka, then you end up in galus again. This depends on how the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants to relate with his yad to Klal Yisrael. If he wants the yad to be a yad of chazaka, or he wants the yad to be a yad which is not chazaka. If it's chazaka, then it's begalui. If it's a yad which is not chazaka, it's behesta, when there's hesta upon him. However, as far as being an Am Segula is concerned, that was something which was eternal. The minute the Rebbeinu Shlomo said it, Maimon Asina, I'm giving you Torah, and Klal Yisrael said, Nazar v'nishma, it remained that way, and void, whether we're in Golos, whether we're in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't make any difference. It's a situation of where Klal Yisrael is eternally a something unique on its own. Therefore, the Torah uses the expression, Chazik Yad, two nouns. In other words, the Rebbeinu Shlomo changed the status of the Jew, using something which is called Chazak and using something which is called Yad, which are two descriptions of the way in which the Rebbeinu Shlomo changed the matter of the Jew, which we'll talk about some other time. Am Yisrael are constantly referred by the Rebbeinu Shlomo. The way in which the Rebbeinu Shlomo refers to Am Yisrael, when he's trying to compare Am Yisrael to other nations of the world, he calls Am Yisrael a Bechor, B'ni Bechori Ata. Why does the Rebbeinu Shlomo call Am Yisrael a Bechor? Because brothers all come from the same father, and there's a certain equality which exists between brothers. There's a difference, Lagabe de Bechor, Lagabe certain things. He gets Pishnaim in the Yerusha, right? There's very specific things, but basically, there's no difference between a Bechor and any of the other brothers in the other areas. And the same is true of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is one of the Ummas of the world. It's one of the nations of the world, and therefore, it's part of the human race, and it has certain equivalences, and the Rebbeinu Shlomo relates to Jews in the same way as it relates to non-Jews. Other than the fact that there's a certain uniqueness about the Jew, which the non-Jew doesn't have. In the same way as the Bechor has a certain uniqueness that the other brothers don't have, so too Klal Yisrael has a certain uniqueness that the Ummas Olam, that the Goyim of the world, don't have. When did Klal Yisrael become the status of a Bechor? When did they become unique? Say Chazal, Gemara in Shabbos, B'sho Shikdimu Nazar V'nishma, when Klal Yisrael said the words Nazar V'nishma, Karos Olam B'ni Bechori, that's when they became a Bechor. So the uniqueness, the Bechor of Klal Yisrael is what? The fact that Klal Yisrael and Mekabel Torah. Therefore, they didn't have any special status whatsoever. The only thing, there's a shita in one of the Achronim, that Bnei Avraham Avinu, who were a class of Umma Yisraelim of their own, right, were mechuyev in certain mitzvahs that the rest of the Umma Yisraelim weren't. But in terms of Darug of Kedusha, they had nothing at all until Matan Torah. That's what, that has nothing to do with it. Therefore, the bitui, the expression Chizik Yad, which is the expression that describes this relationship that the Ribbono Shel Olam has with Klal Yisrael, is found only in one place in the Torah, only in the parsha of Becher, because Becher represents this difference. Chazal say, it's a medrash in Parsha Shemos, Chazal say the following, that if you look at the Shira that is said, whether it was Shira that was said in Kriyas Yamsuf, whether it was the Shira of Chano, the Shiras that there are in the Torah, Shira of Hazinu, it's always in a Lashon Nekeva, say Chazal. It's always in the feminine form. Kol HaShira Shenemru Ba'olam Hazeh, Lashon Nekeva. And there's a reason for it, say Chazal. Why is it Lashon Nekeva? It symbolizes something. Why is it in the feminine form? It's there to symbolize something. A female becomes pregnant, gives birth, and then can become pregnant again and can give birth again. So too, Tzoras come to Klal Yisrael. The Ribbono Shel Olam saves them. Klal Yisrael shei shira, and then a new Tzora comes again. However, la'asid lovei, when Mashiach comes, there are not going to be any Tzoras after Mashiach comes. Therefore, the shira that's going to be said, la'asid lovei, is going to be said in the male form. Oz Yoshe Moshe Sashiro Zeus. That's masculine or feminine? Zeus is feminine, right? Because that was said at Kriyas Yamsuf. It's always Zeus. The future is going to be not Shira, but Shirim is going to be in the masculine. The placing of the dam on the mashkef and the placing of the dam on the mezuzahs wasn't an Eisra Kadosh Baruch Hu that he should be able to know what house is Jewish and what house is not Jewish. He knew it without being informed. Right? He didn't need street signs to tell him here lives a Jew and here lives a Mitzri. Therefore, the fact that there had to be dam on the mashkef and there had to be dam on the mezuzahs was for Klal Yisrael. And Chazal say that the reason why Klal Yisrael were told to do this was in order that Klal Yisrael should do something symbolic which indicates we are ro'u, we are deserving of gula. We are deserving that Ribbono Shel Olam should take us out of Mitzrayim. The animal used as a korban pesach was the divinity of the Egyptians. It was the Egyptian god. And therefore by using that blood as the sign on the door, what the Jew was saying, say Chazal, this is the way the Chazal touch it up in the Medrash, is that Mashachni Yadeinu Me'Aveda Zorah. We haven't got any connection anymore with the Egyptian Aveda Zorah. So in other words, the placing of the blood on the doorpost, the placing of the blood on the top of the door, was a symbolic expression by the Jew that we're different. Mashachni Yadeinu Me'Aveda Zorah. We have no connection anymore with the Egyptians. That's something which is a chok. Why it is that the Jew was chosen to be the Am Segula as opposed to any other nation is an unanswerable question. Nobody knows that. The Ribbono Shel Olam decided that way. We have no idea why. But we do know one thing, that once it was determined at Maimon Har Sinai that the Jew is different, it doesn't matter what the Jew tries to do. He is different. And therefore his obligations are different, and therefore his hanhaga has to be different, therefore his thought process is different. That's something which is nitzchi. And that's what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk, if you look in the Pesukim, you'll see wherever the Pesukim here are referring to this inyan of the physical redemption of Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim, it uses the feminine form Ha'avida Hazois, because it's talking there about the physical redemption, which is something which is only temporary. Wherever we are talking about something which is eternal, like the Nesinas Hadam, which comes in the parasha of Kaddish Li Kol Becher, Right? So on that, the Pasuk says that it's something which is a chok, it's something which is l'doros. All these parshas, Shmos, Vayera, Boy, Shalach, Ramban is an introduction to Sefer Shmos, maintains that all these parshas are the basics of Emuna. The whole basis of belief in Yiddishkeit is encapsulated in the first three or four parshas of Shmos. Why? Because the first three or four parshas of Shmos constantly reiterate a theme. And the theme that they're constantly being reiterated is that Klal Yisrael were chosen to be an Am Skula. Klal Yisrael were chosen to be an Am HaNivcho. Klal Yisrael were chosen by the Ribbono Shel Olam to be different. And basically, that's what it revolves around. And basically, that is the criteria, and that is the only criteria, and that is the only measuring rod of whether the individual, Beruchnius, is going to get anywhere, whether he's actually going to end up being a Jew, meaning whether the generations that follow him will be Jewish or will be non-Jewish, whether they will remain within Klal Yisrael or whether they will marry out of Klal Yisrael, depends on how much the individual is willing to accept the fact and willing to sacrifice for the fact that because at Ma'amid Har Sinai Klal Yisrael said Na'aseh V'Nishma, therefore from that point and onwards, whether we like it or not, we are different. And because we are different, that's why they hate us. And because we are different, therefore there will always be anti-Semitism in the world. Esav Sein Es Yaakov, why? Because Yaakov's different. And Esav knows it. He knows that we're different and therefore he hates us. And there is no solution to the problem of anti-Semitism until the point in time when the Gilui of Mashiach will result in the fact that the Ummus Olam will accept the fact that Am Yisrael are unique. But that will only happen at the point in time when Klal Yisrael themselves realize that they are unique. Every step that a person takes, every action that a person does, every thought that a person has, every word that a person speaks, if he was really a maimin, the question that he would ask himself would be twofold. And this is the way that people who are spiritual led and lead their lives. That before they spoke, before they thought, before they act, they asked themselves always two questions. Number one, does the Ribbono Shel Olam want me to do this? Is this Ratzon Hashem or is this not Ratzon Hashem? And number two, is this Jewish or is this not Jewish? If the answer is God wants it and it's Jewish, go ahead and do it. If the answer is God doesn't want it, or the answer is it's not the way a Jew talks, it's not the way a Jew thinks, it's not a way, then not. When Klal Yisrael when the Ribbono Shel Olam is talking about the milas of Klal Yisrael, it's mind-boggling when you think about it. If somebody came along and said to me, give me the mila of a Jew, right, who managed to survive the Holocaust in a concentration camp for 5 years, right? He went through 5 years of the concentration camp, and he was shema mitzvahs. Give me an example of something which he did which you think is deserving of schar in olam ha'emes. Right, the answer that I would give you is, if I managed to be 5 years in Auschwitz and not to eat tarfas, right, which was probably Asra Pi Alocha, it was probably Mechuyev to eat tarfas, right? It was Pekuchnesh. But if he didn't, if he managed to survive and he was Makbid on Eicha Kosh the whole time, that's a schus. When he comes to the Olam Emes, it's unbelievable schus, right? So the Shefa Chaim, the Kloisenberger Rebbe, right, after he came out of the camps and he lost a wife and 11 kids, when somebody said to him, what are you going to come to the Olam Emes with? Right? What did he turn around and say? I never missed eating an egg with onion on Shabbos morning for 6 years in the camps. I am mitzvibul. That was his thing. He was meitzi nefesh for it. I always wondered about this. Oh, for that? The answer is yes. Why? Because in his eyes, that was the entire encapsulation of why the Jew is different. Because that sort of thing also means something to the Jew, and the non-Jew can't understand that. He can't understand why there should be any type of significance whatsoever in something which is symbolic. And where did he get it from? You know where he got it from? He got it from Chazal, because when Chazal is trying to indicate what was unique about Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim, right? It doesn't say that Jews managed to work a 23-hour day out of 24, which is what Chazal say in the Medrash, and yet still managed to put tefillin on. No! What does it say? Leishinu es levushom, right? Leishinu es leshenom, they didn't change the clothing. They didn't change their language. Leishinu es shemom, right? They didn't start calling themselves by Goyish names. That's the source. That's it. That's all we can think about. The answer is then, Hanami, yes. Because that's what defines the Jew. What defines the Jew is the way he looks bechitzonius. If you walk into the Beis HaMedrash from Ma'ariv and there's a guy standing there who has taken a certain type of haircut, he looks like a goy. Not only does he look like a goy, he starts acting like a goy. He sits in the Beis HaMedrash scribbling the whole time. He sits in the Beis HaMedrash talking the whole time. Right? He's acting like a goy. He can't hold himself back, and he's not to blame. There's nothing to blame him about. If a guy talks like a goy, and a goy acts like a goy, and a guy thinks like a goy, so in his mind, to go out to become a waiter one evening in the week to make some money instead of sitting by a gemara, that's important. Because that's how a yok thinks. And he's a yok who sometimes wears a kippah when it's convenient. He's a goy. Because Jews act in a certain way, think in a certain way, talk in a certain way. Their mindset is different. Guy gets up in the morning, look in the mirror, and you know whether you look like a schwarzer who happens to be white or not. Somebody said to me 2 weeks ago in America, describe 80% of the guys in Leivaria. I said, they're inner city blacks, they happen to be white. Look! Just look around. They're inner city blacks who happen to be white. They think like them, they talk like them, they act like them, they look like them. Just somebody got confused with the color of the skin, that's all. He messed up. Parshas Shmos, Parshas Vayera, Parshas Bo. These are the Yesodus. These are the Yesodus. Rabbi Lipkin's right. You know? If a guy is a Bala Vayera, I've got no problem. That's between him and the Rebbe Shalom. He'll burn. He shouldn't come back to me with tainas and so after 120. Yeah. That is a question of Tzadik or Rasha. Torah says, don't be over on Yisrael Arayas. You are over on Yisrael Arayas. Don't be over on Yisrael Macholas. You are over on Yisrael Macholas. Beseder, so they've got a system up there. Right? It's a system. You get up there, they put you in an elevator, they press the button, go down, they burn you for eternity. Fine. That's your problem with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's nothing to do with anybody else. You want it that way? Fine. So that's Tzadik V'Rosha. But when there's a Ma'ariv going on, there's a guy doing nothing. He's just, you know, in this classic Leiv Arya pose, sitting on his bed going, which is the maximum that his IQ can allow, because he hasn't got the intellectual capacity of doing anything else. Right? That is being a Schwarzer. Because that's what Schwarzers do. Sometimes they get really active and they turn on fire hydrants. That's already when they're high on something. But otherwise, they just sit there looking into midair. So when you do that, you're a Schwarzer. That's not Tzadik V'Rosha. That pshat is you're a goy. That pshat you're a yok. Because you're not shaykh to Klal Yisrael. You ought to have an operation. So you should physically look like a goy as well. The Brit Mila was a mistake. It's not your fault. Somebody else did it. You didn't have a say in the matter at the time. But it was a mistake. You're not shaykh to the parsha. You don't look it. You don't speak it. To record 24 hours in the dawn of the language. Then tell me who's talking, white or black? So the answer is Persian. So you have a great future, you may become president of the United States of America. But with Jews, you have no shaykhahs.
Good. 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 Good.